Okay, would you turn your Bible to the book of Daniel, please? And let's stop and pray. Father, we came to this one wonderful and important book that we are about to study. Father, we pray that you open our heart to receive your wisdom, your truth, your ways, in such a way that we may know what you have for us. For Father, we are not looking for the excitement and the knowing what is going to happen in the future. We want to know about Jesus. Father, we pray that whatever you speak to us through your word is always right. If it goes against our thoughts, then change our heart in such a way that we may do what is right in your sight. Father, we are asking your forgiveness for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and anoint us in such a way that we may know your truth and anoint me that I may speak only your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing we need to know about this book, kind of summarizing what is ahead. The book of Daniel is one of the most intriguing books, not easy to understand due to the prophecies, of course. But with the Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation, you can completely submerge yourself into the end time prophecy that is known as eschatology. It is doubtful that any other Old Testament prophet played a more significant role in his history in Israel than Daniel. And you may say, what about Isaiah, Jeremiah? They are the major prophets. The reason why we call them major prophets is because of the size of the books. You with me? It's not because, don't think that Obadiah is any less person than Isaiah, because Obadiah doesn't even have a second chapter. And while the Isaiah has 66 chapters. So they're not according to the capacity, but it's we are dividing major and minor prophet according to the size of the books. Daniel was taken out of his home country, Judah, at his young age. Some Bible student says that he was about 15 years old, not much more than 15 years old. And they made him a eunuch. We're going to talk more about it. By his captors. And Babylonia not only tried to erase his past, but also wanted him to be one of them as a pagan. What does he mean? He is the believer of Jehovah God, and they tried to remove that concept from him to change so that he can worship their gods. But Daniel shined himself as God's chosen with uncompromising heart toward his God. That is why God used him to enlighten us about the future with this great book. I asked you guys to check out the authorship and the timeline in my email. All right. Who is the author? Daniel. You guys know this, obviously. But somehow the theologians who have way too much time in their hand says, no, it's not Daniel. Especially the Bible critics. He mostly speaks in third-person style, which is very common for the ancient writers to do when they write and draw about themselves, with the exception of chapter 8:1, 9:2, 9:20, and 10:2, where he pronounced, I, Daniel. Most liberal Bible critics challenge that the authorship of the book is not really Daniel, and the time of the timeline is not right either. They said, well, because his prophecy is incredibly accurate. There's no way in the world he couldn't write that thing without knowing what's ahead. Exactly. God wrote it through this man. So they they decided that it's written during the time of Antiochus Epiphany, the Hellenistic king of a Seleucid Empire around 170 BC. Their argument went flat when the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, was discovered. Septuagint was written around 300 BC. That's further behind. And over 130 years before the time of Antiochus Epiphany, and it contains the book of Daniel in Greek. Am I making sense? Throughout the Bible, except Jesus Christ, we see many biblical heroes who showed us their exceptional courage and character under fire. However, all of them, including Joseph and Isaiah, and all of them show one time or another, they show their flaw. However, the Daniel, there was nothing wrong recorded for him. Am I saying that he was the perfect man? No, that's not what I said. He just meant who any wrongdoing was not recorded in the Bible. All right, let's take a look at the structure of this book. We can divide this book in neatly two parts. Sixth chapter has a biography of the Daniel and putting main emphasis on the Daniel, the prophet who interpreted the king's dream. And the second six chapters contain the prophetic section which angel interpreted Daniel's dream for the future. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament is equivalent to the book of Revelation in the New Testament. You cannot say that you understand one book without studying the other book. Like same thing with the book of Hebrews. You cannot understand book of Hebrews without studying book of Leviticus. Vice versa. Prophecy that are recorded in this book covered from the time of Gentile, which begins 606 BC with the captivity of Jerusalem and will end with Christ's return, that is the second coming of Jesus Christ, and judging the Gentile nation on earth. Then what is the biggest difference between the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel? Daniel was written with the Gentiles in mind, while Revelation with the Jews. And you're thinking, shouldn't that be the other way around? No. Revelation is for the Jews. Why? Because it shows the seven churches. And, it's the seven angels. And that angel means a messenger. And they are the pastors. And seven churches. And describing the problem with them. And from the chapter 3, it described people who are going through the difficult time and tribulation. Mostly it is oriented for the people of Israel. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of Judah into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Sinai, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the noble young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language and literature of Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacy and the wine which he drank, and 3 years of the training for them. so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. Now from all, among all those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of eunuchs gave the names. He gave the Daniel's name Belteshazzar, and Hananiah Shadrach, and Mishael and Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. Okay, give me your interpretation, please.
Life can sure turn on a dime.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 15.
Mm-hmm.
So one minute he's playing PlayStation, the next minute he's some captive, right?
Yeah, for the rest of his life. Who else? Who has an interpretation for me?
Seems like he was trying to. He's taking God out of everybody, so that they will obey his God.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening to this world now?
Okay, so make it into yours.
That's what's happening now. We got all these people that are not Christians. They don't believe in anything. So they're saying, well, you're wrong. You need to change to the way we are. We don't do that. And they didn't do that.
Do we see that nowadays on TV?
Oh, yeah.
On confirmation hearing? Mm-hmm. They are really going against our faith? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir, Mikey.
Well, it looks like he tried to take the best and take the best down, which is like everybody's saying today. They're doing the same thing today. Like the hearings that are going on right now, she's at the top and they're just trying to take her down. President Trump, he may not be the best president in the world, but he's the best president we had in a long time, and they're trying to take him down. So everybody's doing good, who's prosperous, and here they got the best of the Israelis, and they're trying to take him down, make him pagans, okay? And they're trying to take down President Trump and Amy, you know.
Okay, what does he mean to Mikey?
What did I just say? They're trying to take the best down.
Trying to take the best down.
Trying to take the best that we have.
That's my brother.
Take him down.
Okay.
Don't you understand that? Should I speak Korean?
That's a brainwashing.
Okay. Julie.
With kids, to me, when I look at their ages and the fact that they were without blemish, it tells me of their youth, their innocence, and we see that today with the things that kids watch on TV. And it basically will rob kids of their innocence. And they're teaching certain things in schools nowadays that are, for example, sex education is being brought younger and younger now.
Did you guys hear about the latest movie by Netflix called Cuties?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are like a 7 to 9 years old girls, and they are doing everything that practically strippers supposed to do. And that they call it art. I'm an artist. I don't see that as an art.
Kind of a pervert,
right? Yeah, perversion, exactly. Okay.
That's where it is. The perversion that they had there, we have now. We're having to deal with the same thing. Exactly the same. It's kind of history repeating itself.
Yes. Let's put in, the way I look at this is just because we are living in the world, that doesn't mean the world can live in us. Remember what Jesus said. Don't let the world, my mind went blank, so I'm paraphrasing. Not of the world, exactly. Rather, Jesus Christ should live in us. Amen? The Pharaoh of Egypt made a mistake before this happened. He invaded Babylon. He decided he's going to, because Egypt until that time was a superpower. He decided since Babylon is coming along well and they are trying to take over the world power, so Pharaoh decided to go after the Babylon. But Babylon's military power was far exceeding the Egypt. Besides, when you have that long line, supply line does not come fast enough. And so they were defeated. And young prince of the Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, defeated him and chased him all the way down to the Sinai Peninsula. Either on the way, we are not clear, either on the way to the peninsula or on the way back, he decided he's going to go after the Judah, southern kingdom, because until now, they were buddy-buddy with Egypt. So he didn't want to have this little remnant country, kingdom to be on the side where they are helping Egypt. So they besieged this Jerusalem, and the soldiers did whatever they wanted in the Judah. And they took, some people say 8,000, some people say 15,000 people out of the Judah, mostly for the slavery and other reasons. Among them a small band of very gifted young men, young people, as we just read. It's like a, let me put it this way. You raise your child in godly value according to word of God, and then you send them to the Berkeley. You know Berkeley, the university, right? Mm-hmm. It is the worst university, not an academic way,
liberal
to the core, over the edge. And so that they can destroy everything in them, in the children's mind and young people's mind. They have a co-ed dormitory in shower room that is not divided man and woman. So what do you think is going to happen? They're the 19, 20 years old, hormone pumping kids.
Trouble.
However, Daniel and some of his friends were well grounded in the word of God since they were youth. And they didn't want to defile themselves in this highly hostile, idolatrous, and contagious environment. We might say that it is no big deal to eat the food that comes from the king's table. I'm sure they were great food. Thick slice of the ribeye and well-buttered lobster and well-prepared games and I'm sure they had a nice juicy pork chop. Maybe not. Probably not.
They had lamb chop.
All the good food of the king's table was a feast in honor of their gods. To eat such a food like that would be equivalent to honoring those idols, admitting that those idols claim and existence, practically betraying their Jehovah God. Not acceptable for any right-minded Jewish young man. Let me put it on my turn. I thought about this. In Korea, we have ancestor worship. Are you guys familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Indians, American Indian has that thing too. We're supposed to bow down to this picture of my great-grandpa or whatever. I've never seen him. All the gooks are look alike, so I cannot tell them from one face to another face. And we're supposed to bow down because he's supposed to take care of us. But now that I'm a Christian, and I've thought about, what if I go back there? Am I supposed to bow down? And I said, no, because I will not bow down to any other gods than other than my God. According to Jewish historian Josephus, Babylonia made them eunuch. It's no wonder Daniel never married. At least we don't know about it. And Josephus, he never mentioned about his wife, Daniel's wife. It's horrible for the Babylonians to take away these boys away from their family. Now they are trying to erase their heritage, physical heritage and identities. And put them in the whole new lifestyle, nothing but the sensual and idolatrous to the core. Not only that, they tried to erase and remove their spiritual heritage from their names, such as Daniel, it means God is my judge. Belshazzar, Bel is the main god's name. Belshazzar means Bel's prince. Hananiah, beloved by the Lord. And changed to the Shadrach, eliminated by the sun god. Mishael, and who is like God, and changed to Meshach, who is like Venus, one of their gods. Azariah, the Lord is my help, and changed to Abednego, the servant of Nego, one of their gods. Let's continue in verse 8. Verse 8, Daniel, I want you to underline the next forward, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed you food and drink. Why should he see your face looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward from the whom chief of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy. As you see fit, so deal with your servant. So he consent with them in this matter. Test them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their future appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and wine that they were to drink, gave them vegetables. Okay, who has an interpretation?
Everybody in this room is going through issues. Everybody in this room who's a believer and is faithful to that belief and trust in God will eventually always have to make a choice. Daniel makes a momentous choice here to go against what is pleasurable. The food was going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But in his heart, his mind, his tradition, and his understanding of God's desire for his people and his friends too, show that choice to listen to God and be faithful to God's word, there is a blessing that they won't know until it happens.
Okay.
For me, we have seen literally miracles in the last month. Impossibilities happen that we, and I'm saying the people that I know that these miracles have happened to, because we stood on the fact that God is faithful, we can trust him, and we have no idea what's going on, but he's working for us.
Amen.
That's what I get out of those verses.
I like the word he used, choice.
Yeah.
We always have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we?
Yeah.
There's no such a thing as a devil made me to do it.
Yeah. Well, and I'll follow Jesus as long as everything keeps going good.
Wow, what a good concept.
I know, right? That's superficial, where it's like May said. I mean, Daniel had this conviction. If we don't have convictions today,
amen.
You know, we can go south real easy. Mm-hmm. So,
no
that's
time.
What it means to me.
Mr. Gary.
I was reminded immediately when I first read that of Romans 12.
You and your Romans 12.
I always go there. We know what it says. You know, if we're going to present our bodies, we have to make that decision. We're going to present our bodies to God. If we're
living
not, we're
sacrifice.
Defiling. We're actually defiling this way if we don't do it.
Not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed.
Amen.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Who else? That's good. That's a good one. That's very rich. Yes, I'm sorry. You're out of my peripheral vision. Next time, sit in the front. The front center.
Front center.
Sorry.
It's possible that they also had to not be afraid of the other
prisoners or whatever you call them, the other guys, that they had kind of like blowback from those guys if they wanted to eat the choice food, and yet now they had to eat vegetables with Daniel.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, they were probably fighting over Daniel's portion.
Good, more for me.
Yeah.
But there was there just four?
Mm-hmm. For what we know.
I thought there were more.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, my interpretation is the true test for our faith comes with the opportunity to compromise. Mm-hmm. Let me say again. The true test of our faith comes with an opportunity to compromise. Again, as many said, choice. All right.
To me, it also means, looking at this, you know, they, on one hand, they had all these fancy foods and all this and that. That the four men, Daniel and them, they had food that sustained them. And that's what God is to us. God's our sustainer. All this other stuff is nothing but fluff, and it's not like God wants. But when we follow Him, you know, He's our sustainer.
Yeah, He's the sustainer, exactly. When we, Karen and I, went on this cruise many years ago, it was not very long after we started the church. We went up to Alaska. You know, food was exceptionally good, right? And the cruise, you all you can eat. So I saw the escargot. I heard about it, so I'm going to try it. I got to end up on the sick bay. The sauce did not go well with me. So what is the moral of that story? If you don't know how to pronounce it because you're a redneck, don't eat it.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, leave it alone. Just look at other people eating. Stick with the steak. Many Christians in America just live day-to-day life without any firm conviction in Christ. I wouldn't doubt that if their comfort and acceptance by unbelievers were threatened, if they would cave into their world of views. Oh, I know that they would declare that they would die for Jesus. Guess who else said that? Peter, right before the rooster crowed. So don't say that I will die for Jesus while you're sitting in the church. Of course, we all would say that. What if the gun barrel is on your head? What if gun barrel is on your grandchild's head or your child's head? If you deny your Christ, I'll let your child live. That's something for you to think about. When our daughter was 14 years old, this is not I don't recommend this. I told her if somebody tried to threaten you and kill you, if I don't deny Christ, I'll let you die. She looked at me like, thanks, Dad, that look. You have to make a choice again. I think that it is extremely important for every one of us to establish this kinds of a commitment and a purpose in the Lord, in our hearts, so that we would not defile ourselves for anything that the world offers. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted this young people, other captives from Judah, to understand that he is the one who provides. So they should look to him for what they need. Am I making sense? They shouldn't look to their God, but him, King Nebuchadnezzar, because he's the number one man. But these Hebrew boys refused to mold into his world. That brings another word, integrity. It is the word we don't hear very often nowadays in light of what upcoming election for the president, Senate, House, state, and local level. We know that somehow the word integrity and the politicians are standing on the opposite side. The lies freely flow from the presidential candidates mouth and the Capitol Hills and Supreme Court justice confirmation hearing and federal courts all the way down to the local government and the lawmakers and the media. By the way, have you ever thought about doing this? Counting all the people who got contaminated, went down with the coronavirus from the March. If you count all of them in Arizona only, I think that's surpassed the population of Arizona with all the many people every day, hundreds of thousands of people. They are the ones who are opposed to uphold the word integrity and practice in their given profession, but they don't. From the deep inside of his heart, Daniel's heart, that Daniel had to make up his mind that he would not compromise. How could Daniel and his friend have such a strong conviction and integrity? How? Give me an answer, please. Anyone? They didn't have a Bible. No, that's when he's 7 years old.
Yeah, but
he's only a teenager here. Key point. That's the key point. Exactly. Because they in their mind and spirit, they were firmly grounded in the Word of God, and they were not willing to compromise even to their death. Let's put that thing into our lives. We are learning the Word of God here in the church, but true test comes when we step outside of the church. What am I saying? The people in the world will entice us with a well-packaged bait. They will only ask us a very small compromise. And they will tell us that we are living in the lonely and boring and rigid world, and they will tell us that we can have so much fun and fulfilling life if we just loosen up a little bit. I don't know if you heard this story in Netherlands. It's like a New Orleans. Their ground level is lower than sea level. Do you know that? And New Orleans, that is such a weird, weird town. I've been there once and never to go back. The water table is very high. Mm-hmm. They cannot dig the ground more than 3 feet without having the water coming in. Out. Mm-hmm. So there's no such a thing as a grave site with the digging the ground. They all have a grave site above the ground. And to build a high-rise building, they have to put so much concrete into the base, the foundation, to build anything. In Netherlands, this particular boy was passing by this levee. And he saw the water was trickling out from the levee. There's a little hole. So he stuck his hand in, finger in. Pretty soon, become bigger and bigger, so he ended up putting an entire arm in. And nobody saw him. And he's held there for an entire night. Next morning, a farmer saw him. And he asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I know this one little hole, if I don't stop now, it's going to get bigger and bigger and the whole town will go underwater. So I stuck my hand in." Folks, we are the one who should do that. Christianity is eroding in America. As a matter of fact, it's eroding around the world. I'm sure you heard the phrase, Christianity is one generation or from the extinction. I know that it's not going to happen because the Word of God says so. As I mentioned before, Tucson is New Age Mecca, as well as Sedona and Santa Fe, New Mexico. If we let it, this will be taken over by the pagans. Please remember, temptation without an opportunity is like a bee without a sting. The choice to sin does not come from others except for our own. Temptation without an opportunity is like a bee without a sting. having made his decision and other guys, four, three other guys, Daniel made a wise approach with a tactfulness to his superior. Do you think that God would have killed Daniel and his friend if they had the king's meal? I don't think so. But God honored Daniel's and his friend's decision to keep themselves pure, brought the Daniel's enemy to come to peace. Reminds me of the Proverbs chapter 16, please. Proverbs 16, verse 7. I love this verse because it has such a great meaning. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen? God will never abandon us when we stand for him. Daniel entrusted himself to God, and God came through. Though it was a no doubt a stretching experience for Daniel and his friend. Then, question come to my mind. What about those believers like the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, and others who were executed by the Roman Emperor crazy Nero and Domitian? What about the modern-day martyrs? There are 100,000 people get killed around the world every year. We don't know why the Lord allows them to die, but not rescue them and spare their lives. But I do know this. They all are in heaven and rejoice with their Savior and Lord. So nothing is lost, is it? You know, we have such a great deal, don't we? If somebody kill us because of our faith in Jesus Christ, whoop-de-doo, we are in heaven. If we are here, we have a job to do for him. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen? All right, verse 17. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, the king had said that they should be brought in. The chief of the eunuch brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them. Among them, all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Stop. All right, I'm not going to ask for interpretation because it's obvious. This is a happy ending, of course. It would be a happier ending if they went back home to mommy and daddy, but that's not. Not every time we stand for God, it does not end with a happy ending. The Lord allowed suffering to happen. Sometimes the situation can go from bad to worse, and simply just go from bad to worst. We who are parents and grandparents need to prepare our children for the occasions that the world and our enemy Satan bring. That by both teaching them and God's truth and modeling integrity. It's easy for us to say it, but it's hard to live what we teach them, don't we? Folks, don't think that our children don't understand or the grandchildren don't understand. They do. Two applications. All right, don't look at my application. What about your application? What do you have? Anyone?
No matter the circumstance, faith in God will get you through every time.
Good. Who else? Manny?
Something came to me while you were teaching that I didn't see in passages until you're teaching. When someone goes, why am I going through this? When a person asks, why? Your teaching answers that question. were taught for the glory of God. And it, these four men, boys, remind me of a parallel to a remnant that is always lived throughout Scripture.
Exactly.
That right there, just, and it was, it's your teaching that brought that out to me.
Good. Praise the Lord. Anyone? Any applications? Yes. Pat.
Make your decisions.
Yes.
Make your decision to follow God and stand by that decision. Be firm in that decision.
Amen.
Before you're tempted, so that you don't fall to the temptation.
Good. Good word. Good word. Okay, my own application here. Number one. We need to build our own inner conviction for God so that we can overcome any outer pressures to compromise. Same thing with what Pat said. This is from Chuck Swindoll, my favorite Bible teacher. God-honoring conviction yield God-given rewards. Not all the time, but just knowing that we've been used by God. One of my old classic movies is Covadis. It's featuring Emperor Nero. I believe the star was Robert Mitchum and Deborah Kerr. Some of you guys remember. And Robert Mitchum played the role of a Roman general, totally hidden. And Deborah Kerr is a Christian, devout Christian. And eventually, general come to know Christ and they got married. In that movie, Nero was a delight. He was just having fun killing people. There's one scene when the lion was loosed under this Christians. They were singing. They were singing hymns. Do you know what that did to the Nero? He could not sleep. He could not settle down because he's hearing that song over and over and over. While they are in the prison, they are singing. While they are dying in fire, they are singing to God. You cannot do that until you have a conviction in your heart. I don't know. I hope that President Trump go back to the Oval Office. I hope that Republicans take the Senate and the House both and stop this madness. But we don't know. What if this country becomes a total socialist country and under the thumb of China? What if? And they come after us. Would you still stand up for Christ? In 3 weeks, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Yes, sir.
I have come to not pray that I stand up for Christ. I don't pray that I will die for Christ. I pray that I have the strength to do what I want to do now. If we go to a socialist country, we go to Christians being persecuted in this country, in this state. The question is how can that happen? The answer that I have is God allowed it.
Yep.
If God allows it, he's still in control.
Right.
And if he's in control, it's his will. He wrote the book, told us what's going to happen in our lives, in our children's lives, in the grandchildren's life. We don't know. But what you're saying here, the preparation for what if. There's not a what if in the Bible. There's a what will be. When he wants it to be. And if it's in God's will, that's where we want to be, in God's will. And the glory to God comes with how we react to what may come in our lives. That's the difference between how we live the rest of our life and how we see what we don't want, the liberals, the socialists, all that stuff. How are we going to react to it if it goes that way? Do we glorify God?
Yep.
That's it.
Okay, let's stand up and pray.